Welcome to Capital Baptist Church and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Wise Up. Today we're going to be continuing this series, and actually today we're going to be completing this series. So if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs 31, and there's also Bibles in the pew in front of you, and we're in the book called Proverbs, which is around halfway through the Bible, and we're in the last chapter, and that's chapter 31 of Proverbs. Today we're going to be talking about something really important, and that is wise up about womanhood. And this was such an important topic that Solomon saved the best for last. And he dedicated pretty much the whole final chapter of Proverbs specifically to women, and not only to women, but also how men should respond to having a godly woman. And so today we're going to be looking at this, and I'm so excited about this topic, and I'm so excited about this message. Now, as we begin, I want to take a moment, and I want to say a word to the men. Because some of you guys might be sitting here saying, wow, you know, I showed up the wrong day. I don't even know why I'm here, okay? I wish I'd known this was happening. I mean, I know I got 10 postcards and 30 announcements, and it was on the website, but somehow I missed the topic for today, okay? So maybe I'll just check out here and come up with the winning strategy for the Redskins to beat the Falcons today, whatever, okay? Let me encourage you not to do that, okay, for three reasons, okay? Reason number one is this topic and what it says about being a godly woman pretty much applies totally also to men, okay? These are issues of character. These are issues of obedience. And we could find scripture in other places that talk about how all of us and even how men should be the same way, okay? So this is easily applicable to all of our lives. It talks about how she's a hard worker. Well, we know that's just not women that are supposed to work hard. The Bible tells us that all of us are to have a good, strong work ethic. Also, I want to say a word if you are an unmarried man here today. And it's a good chance, good possibility that one day you would hope to be married. And this is a great opportunity for you to learn and to really find what you should be looking for in a woman. And so you want to pay attention here and you want to understand what God says is a good woman to bring into your life. And then I want to say a word to the men that are married here today. And the word to us is, listen, this is a great passage to show us how to support our wives and how to come alongside of our wives and be of support to them. So today, men, listen, there's detail here for you in every different direction. So thanks for being here, guys, and thank you for being here, ladies, as we talk about wise up about womanhood. Now, I want to begin by reading just one verse, and it's our key verse, or I like to view it like as a memory verse. And in Proverbs 31, verse 10, here's where Solomon transitions into talking about womanhood, and he begins by saying this in Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies? Who can find a virtuous wife or virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies? So there's a couple things to observe there. Number one, it's hard to find this type of woman we're going to talk about today, this wise woman. And so the question is asked, who can find a virtuous woman? It's kind of implying like they're tough to come along, okay? Secondly, her worth, okay, is very valuable, more valuable than money, more valuable than, here's the example, rubies. In other words, if you have that type of woman in your life, she is more valuable than anything this world might have to offer. And so the goal is for every woman to want to be this type of virtuous woman and to have this worth that is spoken of here in the Word of God. Now today as we begin, I want to take you into a intimate circle of your life, okay? And today I want you, as we begin here today, for you to think about a woman or a group of women that God has allowed to come into your life, either in the past or in the present, that has made a tremendous difference in your life. And I want you to think about this. You know, the instruction that we're going to look at later given here is that we are to praise that type of woman. That we're to rise up and call that type of woman blessed. And I want you to think about any woman in your life that in your own heart today, and maybe when you leave here, if they're still alive, more than in your heart, hopefully in actions beyond your heart, you will praise that person. You will rise up and call that person blessed. And even if they passed on today, what a day for you to speak of them to somebody, okay? And just talk about the difference they made in your life. And so I'm going to invite you into my own little intimate circle here today. And I want to talk about two women that have had such a huge impact on my life. And these two women, I can literally say, okay, no doubt about it, I would never be where I am today without these two women. There's no way in the world I could ever be where I am today without these two women in my life. And then a little bit later, I'm going to tell you about another woman as well. But I want to begin, first of all, and I want to talk to you about one of my grandmothers, okay? And I've got a picture here of my grandmother. Now, I tell you, I just want to give a shout out to my wife. I'm telling you, she got kind of diverted in a good way on Thanksgiving and started breaking out the family albums at my mom and dad's house. And I'm telling you, she found treasures, okay? If any of you, some of you have heard me speak, some of you never heard me speak, but if you've heard me speak about God for God and things like that, I, through the years, since 2007, I've often spoke of my grandfather, okay? And I talk about this grandfather who I never had a relationship with, and some of you know that part of my life. And I did not know there was any picture of me with my grandfather, okay, in this world. And my wife found this picture, okay? This is Homer Reynolds. This is my grandfather, okay? This is his wife, Emma. That's my mom. That's my dad. And guess who that is? That is yours truly, okay? That's my brother there, and these are some of my cousins here, okay? All right. And I just love this picture because I'm kind of looking over there at everybody. I just love that, okay? I treasure this picture. I didn't know there was a picture in the world like that, okay? But I want to take a moment and rise up and call this lady here blessed, okay? Her name was Emma Reynolds. Emma Reynolds. Let me tell you about Emma Reynolds, okay? I grew up in a place called Lynchburg, Virginia. Lynchburg, Virginia is about 3 hours south of here. You go down what's called Route 29. You head down the road, you go through Charlottesville, and about an hour and 15 minutes on the other side of Charlottesville is Lynchburg, Virginia. Outside of Lynchburg, Virginia is a town, small town. Okay, Lynchburg is a small town too, but even a smaller town called Appomattox, Virginia. I don't know if you ever heard of Appomattox, Virginia. It's where the Civil War ended, okay? Outside of Appomattox, Virginia, about 5, 6, 7 miles, is a spot in the road, okay? And it is a spot in the road called Vera, Virginia. Vera, Virginia. In Vera, Virginia was about 100-acre property, farm, okay? And that farm belonged to Homer and Emma Reynolds, okay? And on that farm, they raised 8 kids, okay? 6 boys and 2 girls. And one of those boys was my dad, Alfred Dean Reynolds, okay? Now, this played a big part in my life, okay, and Emma played a big role in my life because of a couple things. One is pretty much every Sunday we would go to her house, and so for the first part of my life, first 10 years or so, we actually went to church together, then we would go to the house. Later on in my life, we went to a different church in Lynchburg, but after church was over, we would, you know, I know what it is to over the river and through the woods. Your grandmother's house, I know all about that, okay? In fact, I wrote that song, okay? Whatever, okay? But the bottom line is, that was a big part of my life. Every single Sunday, okay, pretty much, being there. And it was a great time. We had a wonderful time. A lot of great memories, a lot of fun, a lot of food, a lot of time together and things like that, okay? But beyond that, even more beyond that, is the summertime. And pretty much every summer, I would go to Emma's house, and I would spend lots of time, okay? I probably spent a month every summer there. I mean, it wasn't a day or two. It was like a long time, okay? And I learned so much from her, okay? I learned about hard work. I learned about fish. She taught me to fish, okay? And I hate it today, but she taught me, okay? Whatever, okay? I'm not a fisherman, okay? My uncles taught me to hunt. I hate hunting, okay? Why would you want to hunt when you go to the store and buy what you need? Wait a minute, I don't get that, okay? I know it's so quiet and nice out there. It's also freezing and there's gnats and everything else, okay? But that's another story for later on, okay? But this grandmother was such a godly, godly woman. And she was such a sweet, sweet, godly saint. And one of the most precious things for me was the Word of God. Okay? Okay, but if you'll notice there, okay, to the left, that's my dad. To the left and the bottom, that's my brother Don. And down to the right is your 100-pound first grader named Steve, okay? That's me, okay? But notice what she's holding in her hands. She's got her big, black, King James Version, hell-fired Bible right there, okay? Okay, and I'm telling you, every night, Emma would break that Bible out. Okay, and there were two things we got before bedtime. One was we got a pot. She didn't have indoor plumbing. So she said, here's your bowl. Okay, so got anything to do, do it in the bowl here. We'll deal with it in the morning. Okay, thank you, Grandma. Appreciate the bowl. Okay, whatever. Because it was cold, man. I was glad I didn't have to go out to the outhouse. Okay, just telling you how I grew up. Okay, whatever. Okay, giving you more detail than you ever wanted to know. Okay, but every night, okay, she would take that Bible and she would break it out. And she would read to us the Word of God. Every single night, okay, pouring the Word of God into my life, okay? And I'm telling you, I would not be the man I am today without that woman, okay? She's in heaven today, and I can't wait to see her again, okay? And I rise up, and I call her blessed, okay? I want to tell you about another woman in my life, and her name is Elizabeth Reynolds. This is my mom, okay? And this is a picture of my young mom, beautiful woman, okay? And there is her fat baby. Right off the bat, I was fat, okay? And there I am, okay? And you know what? That woman is holding me in her arms, okay? And she, I mean, physically she might have let go, but emotionally she's never let go, okay? I am one spoiled brat, okay? I am, okay? And my mother, okay? You know, when my mother passes, there's not going to be a big crowd there, okay? Okay, it's going to be a small crowd, okay? Because my mother, you know what she's given her life to? She's given her life to her family, okay? She's given her life to her family. And that's her life, okay? That is her life. And she has been such a wonderful example to us of work and caring for people and making the family a priority and making the family important. And so much of what I have in my life today, my work ethic, my love for people and care for people and all that comes from my mom. Okay, my mom is the one that poured that into me. And my mom's a simple woman. She grew up without her mom. Her mom, she has no memory of her mother. Okay? Her mother died when she was a very young child. Okay, and she had to take on the role of being kind of the woman of the house, very young. She started cooking, and she'll tell stories just how young she was when she would cook, because her dad was a farmer as well, okay? And my mother never graduated from high school. I mean, she's not an educated person. Talk to her very long. She'll give you lots of double negatives and everything else real fast, okay, whatever. She's a simple woman, okay? But, you know, through her life and through her prayers, I mean, God's blessed her, you know. And there's four preachers preaching today. Yeah, I'm not saying you got to have kids that are a preacher, okay? Don't get me wrong. Your kid could be anything, okay? It's fine. But I'm just telling you, okay, I'm preaching here, okay? But over in Denton, Maryland, Eastern Shore, Maryland, my brother's over there preaching at Calvary Baptist Church, okay? Between here and there, you go over to Annapolis, Maryland, and my nephew, he's supposed to be preaching. I don't know what he's doing, okay? But my nephew Donnie is over there preaching, okay? Supposedly, okay? You go out to Connersville, Indiana, and my nephew John is over there preaching, okay? There's four of us, okay? And this woman got up this morning at 5:30 and prayed for every one of us, okay? And you know what? She prayed for you. okay? She prayed for you. She prayed that God would do something in your life, okay? And I rise up and call her blessed. And out of her life, God has impacted us and given us a beautiful family, okay? And we just took our first full family picture, and every one of you are going to be getting a copy of this picture. And this has been a big year for our family, okay? This year we've had two weddings and our first grandchild, and that's our family picture right there. And I'm so blessed. These people, they're not just my family, they're my friends, okay? We're friends, okay? Honestly, you're cool, but I'd rather spend time with them than you, okay? Just so you know, okay? And God has blessed us. I find it so hilarious. I grew up pretty much, that beautiful family I had in the country, pretty much a bunch of racists, okay? And I was brought up in that period of time. And unfortunately, a lot of us here were raised in the 50s and the 60s. And we know all that problem, okay? And I just think it's so cool to look at my diverse family today and our beautiful church here, okay? And I know there's still issues in our country and things we still got to work on, but we've come a long ways, and we've definitely come a long ways at Capital Baptist Church, okay? And this is my beautiful, 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 beautiful family that I'm so proud of, okay? And I'm telling you, my mom has impacted every one of our lives, okay? And I rise up and call her blessed. So who are those special people in your life today that you want to rise up and call blessed? Speak of them today. If you can talk to them directly, talk to them directly. If you can't, they've passed, talk about them. Just tell somebody about the impact they had on your life. And let people know what a difference they made. Well, how can you wise up about womanhood? Well, there's two things to realize, okay? First of all, the person she is. The person she is. There's tremendous detail given here to this woman and the type of woman she is. But I want to just highlight three things, okay? Number one, I want to highlight the fact that she is a valuable wife. She is a valuable wife. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman or virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What an awesome picture of this woman. She does him, speaking of her husband, does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We see in this context that it's talking about a woman that is married. But as we understand the whole word of God today, I want to share with you that you too can be a wise woman, this type of woman, whether you're married or not. And I just think it's important because some of you might be sitting here saying, well, I guess I can't ever be a virtuous woman. I guess I can't ever be a wise woman. Well, you need to understand God's word. Because God's word actually says it's actually better if you can, it's better to remain unmarried. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul, a single guy, a single man, said this, "For I wish that all men were even as I myself." Would you underline that statement? I wish that all men were even as I myself. Paul here is a single guy is saying, listen, I wish everybody was like me. Okay, the whole context of this passage, as we're going to see, is all about remaining unmarried, remaining single, okay? Then look at verse 8, part B. It is good for them if they remain even as I am. It is good for them if they remain even as I am. So what Paul is doing is he's elevating being unmarried, okay? And he's saying, listen, you know, this is the way to go. If you can do this, he says, this is the way to go. Now, that's important for us to understand because a lot of times we think of a person's not married, they're like half a person or they're like, you know, whatever, okay? That's not biblical, okay? That's not the word of God, okay? That's not what the Bible teaches. But Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 7:28, if you do marry, you have not sinned. He says it's not a sin to get married, okay? You haven't sinned, you haven't done anything wrong if you got married, okay? But understand, if you can remain single, you need to do it, okay? You need to do it, okay? Now, I realize that most of the people here today or most people listen to my voice later on over the internet or whatever, you desire to get married, probably, okay? But here's the deal. I don't want you to spend this season of your life just sitting there thinking, woe is me, and I wish I was married or whatever. No, you need to understand the wonderful season that you're in at this present time. And you might be in that season your whole life. You might be in that season for a shorter period of time. But here's the attitude you need to have. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He says, really what I'm trying to help you understand is, if you remain like me, unmarried, you can kind of focus yourself on this. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So an unmarried person, I mean, listen, you ain't got to worry about a spouse, okay? You just have to be focused on the Lord, okay? You can turn your total attention to the Lord, because when you get married, you got to care about the things of the world. You got to care about how you're going to please your wife, okay? You can't get up every day and just say, well, what does the Lord want me to do today? You got to say, what does the Lord want me to do today? And what does my wife want me to do today? Whatever, okay? That's okay, because it's not a sin to get married. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin, or a wife and an unmarried person, okay? The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. She who is married cares about the things of the world, how she can please her husband. She has to get up every day and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then she has to say, well, what does my husband want me to do, okay? That's how it is when you get married. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but listen, for what is proper in that, underline this, you may serve the Lord without distraction. You may serve the Lord without distraction. So I just want to emphasize, although the context of Proverbs 31 is indeed speaking to a married woman, you need to broaden that according to the Word of God and realize that you too, married or unmarried, every woman here today can be this virtuous woman that's being spoken of in the Word of God. And again, as you go through this season of life, okay, and I know most of you would like to get married, and that's cool. Nothing wrong with that, okay? It's not a bad desire. But don't allow this period of your life to slip away where you don't understand the wonderful benefit that you have during this time. Well, Proverbs does speak a lot about having a wife, okay? And I want to give you three other passages that talk about a wife and three different things about having this kind of wise woman wife. In Proverbs 12:4, it says, an excellent woman is the crown of her husband. So if you have this type of woman, she's like a crown. She's like a crown. What a wonderful thing. But listen, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. So you want to be a crown to your husband. And then Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So you got to realize that if you found a wife, you found something really good. And it's actually God showing his favor to you. God showing his favor to you. And then Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord, okay? So if you have this godly woman, a prudent wife, meaning a virtuous woman, a godly woman, that is a wife that's from the Lord, okay? That is a wife that's from the Lord. Now today, I want to talk about a third woman in my life, okay? And this is my crown, my good thing, okay? My from the Lord wife, okay, that God has given me. And when I planned out this teaching series, I did not think about what today was going to be, okay? I wish I would have said I had this already planned. I was going to make this very special. Honestly, I didn't. I knew I was going to end the series today. I knew we were going to do chapter 31 last. But guess what happened? It ended up being on the day when I would be celebrating with my wonderful wife our 34th wedding anniversary, okay? And so today is our 34th wedding anniversary. My wife and I, this is myself here. Look at that hunk of a man there, okay? And look at this knockout right here, okay? She's still a knockout, okay? Most beautiful girl at Liberty University. She should have been Miss Liberty right there, okay? So they don't know how to vote down there. Anyway, okay? We were married December 15th, 1979. And I met my wife my second year, second semester of college, and we met at my brother's church, but we were serving and going to school at Liberty. We just happened to meet over in Maryland for, I won't go into that whole story, but bottom line is God brought us together ultimately through being students at the greatest university in the world, Liberty University, okay? And we dated, and we got married. I actually pretty much finished college in 3.5 years, and then went right on. I was like the first person to ever go into seminary right like that. That was something new at that time. And away we went, okay? Away we went in our marriage. And I just want to rise up and call my wife blessed today for lots of different reasons, okay? And one of the things that's said here in this passage is verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, okay? Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And although my name is not a household name, okay, hopefully one day it will be, okay? And weight loss, that's what I pray. Every Christian home will know who I am, okay? For God, not for me, but for God, okay? That we can help Christians not to be the most overweight people group in the world, okay? And I would love for God to use me to be a help in that area, okay? But I'm pretty well known, okay? There's lots of people in this community know who I am, and there are, because of my writings and things like that, lots of people know who I am, okay? And I want you to know that it's because of this woman right here, okay? This woman named Debbie, okay? Only heaven is going to reveal the sacrifices that my wife has made, okay, in ministry, for you, for this church, okay? I'm telling you, when we get there to the judgment seat, you better be looking over and seeing what's going on, okay? Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a mighty big reward given for this woman. Here was a lady, you know, a woman's greatest need is security. Did you know that? So here her husband says, babe, listen, I want to move from, we both had good jobs, we had home, we had family, we had support. And listen, let's go to Northern Virginia and start a new church. You got a job? No, I ain't got a job. Got a congregation? Not a single person. Okay. I heard it's kind of expensive up there. It sure is. Okay. But I believe this is what God wants us to do. Okay. And she faithfully supported that. That is huge. Maybe I'm going to do something that has a 90% failure rate. You want to join me? 90% of these new churches aren't going to make it. We only got a 10% chance of making it. You want to join in? Sure. Why not? Okay. To do that is just huge. And then the sacrifice, okay? I was a lousy husband. I'm still not that good, okay? But I was the ultimate workaholic, okay? I mean, I thought I was a good dad giving my family one night a week, okay? I literally worked 6.5 days or 6 3/4 days for years. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you how it is, okay? It was a horrible thing I did, okay? But it just takes a lot to start a church. It just takes a lot of sacrifice, okay? It's not an easy thing to do, okay? And I had to do what I had to do to make that happen, okay? And then just to go through all the things we've been through, just, you know, building the church, you know, trying to find a permanent facility, and then merging churches in 1990. That is an unbelievable task, bringing two churches together. I mean, that's a whole book in itself, you know? Building this building over here, it took, you know, 8 years, unbelievable sacrifice. Only heaven knows what it took to get that building up there. And then God all of a sudden says, hey, fatty. Yes, you talking about me, God? Yeah, I'm talking to you, fats, okay? I want you to lose some weight. And by the way, I'm gonna let you talk to people about that, okay? You know, something, honestly, I don't even desire that, okay? I mean, my passion is this church right here, okay? Being a pastor. But God just miraculously gave me this platform, okay? I didn't ask for it, didn't seek it out. It just happened, okay? It just happened. And I gladly obey God. But there's sacrifice in writing books. There's sacrifices in going around and speaking. And I mean, I only take about 10% of speaking. People ask me to speak. I probably only take about 10% of those. But I still go quite a bit, okay? Even in that. And I'm telling you, God has allowed me to be known, okay, in the gates because of my wife, okay, because of my wife. And only heaven is going to know that. And then when you look at our awesome family, what's the next picture we got here? Go back, go to my, That lady right there, she's the heart of our family right there, okay? She's the heart of it. I mean, she has had such a huge impact on all of us. I mean, I am such a boring guy. You don't know how boring I am, okay? I am the most boring person you've ever been around. You don't want to be around me, okay? You know, you want to be around her. She is a party animal, okay? Whatever, okay? And she's the eye, you know? You meet with me, I want to know why we're meeting. What's the purpose of us meeting? What are we doing here? Okay, when is this going to be over? I got things to do, whatever, okay? And y'all want to have a party? Invite her to come, okay? She'll be good, okay? Whatever. But look at what God's did through this lady right here, okay? Look at that family. What a beautiful, beautiful family. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And today, I rise up and I call my wife blessed, okay? This woman's a valuable wife. Secondly, she's a vigorous worker. She's a worker. Verse 13 begins. I'm not going to be able to cover all these verses here, by the way, okay? But I just want to highlight, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Okay, works. She's a worker, okay? And of course, Proverbs, we did a whole message on work. Remember that? Dr. Nanigan did that message. And just over and over, the Bible emphasizes being a worker. The Bible says, don't be slack with your hands, okay? Or you'll become poor. You know, be diligent, you know. Proverbs 28:19, you know, till the land, you know, you have plenty of bread, you know. Don't get into frivolity and laziness, or you'll have poverty. And Proverbs 20, verse 4 talks about, you know, you can always use an excuse for not working, saying it's wintertime. Well, if you do that, you're going to beg in the harvest. I mean, you know, Proverbs 10:26, when you have a lazy person, they're not very dependable. They're like vinegar in your teeth or smoke in your eyes or whatever. You know, be dependable. But the emphasis here is just on her work. The Bible talks here about how she works in the home. In verse 16, verse 15, okay, she rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household, okay, and portion for her maidservants. Now, you got to get your rest. Don't ever forget when you see these passages like that, and I'm all for getting up early, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times, these people went to bed early, okay, you understand, okay? They didn't have light bulbs or whatever, okay? So if you're not getting up when it's dark, ladies, you know, it's okay, or whatever, okay, as long as you do something while you're up or whatever, okay? You know, but the point was, she was a worker, okay? She was a worker. She worked for her family. She worked in her home. She worked in caring for people in ministry. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She was involved in her family and working there. She was involved in the needy, and you know, you'd call that ministry. She had a ministry in her life. And then this woman was a businesswoman, okay? She had a career going on, okay? She had a job going on. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She had a business going on here. She made linen garments and she sold them, and she supplied sashes for the merchants. She had a business going on. This woman, you know, it was a career woman in the sense that she had a job. And it's fine if your only job, if you will, is your family. That's cool. But the Bible doesn't forbid you from working outside of the home, okay? And doing something along that line. In fact, the Bible says in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Okay, my wife's a realtor, so it's biblical to be a realtor according to the Word of God. Okay, you're a lady, okay? You got to consider feeling by it or whatever. It's okay. Okay, it's okay. I mean, I really believe every family, you got to look at the wife, you got to look at all the circumstances. It's every family has to make that decision for themselves, okay? And you have to figure out how you're going to do all that stuff, okay, together. But she is a vigorous worker. Number three, she is a virtuous woman. I love, this is probably my favorite section of Proverbs 31. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. I love this. You know, it just talks about just she's a strong woman, okay? And she's an honorable person. And this is her clothing. Okay, this is what her clothing is all about, okay? And really what it's just talking about, you know, to me, it's like being virtuous in the sense of pure and sexual purity and being what God wants you to be, okay? And being that type of godly woman, because the Bible's very clear, anything outside of marriage between a husband and a wife, premarital sex, extramarital sex, perverted things like homosexuality and lesbianism, anything outside of a husband and wife within the holy confines of marriage sexually is sin, okay? It is sin. And a woman and us men have got to recognize that, okay? And we've got to realize that and what the word says. Because the world puts just the opposite emphasis. Look at Proverbs 11:22. It says, as a ring of gold in a pig's snout or a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. So what's the world going to emphasize? Being a lovely woman. And most lovely women don't have discretion. And here's what God says you're like, okay? You're like a pig with a gold ring, okay? I didn't make this up. It's right here, okay? You're this lovely woman, but you act and dress like a loose woman or whatever, an ungodly woman. Okay, you're not beautiful. You're like a pig with a gold ring through your nose, okay? Just let that sink in a little bit, okay? What do you want to be, ladies, okay? Well, this woman here, she was a godly woman. And her clothing, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the woman is to dress in modest apparel. The Bible says in verse number 10, she is to dress so that she's professing godliness. She's professing godliness. And then I love the next verse. It might be my favorite verse in Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. When she speaks two ways. One, wisdom. What is wisdom? Remember what wisdom is? Discerning and doing the will of God. That's how we define wisdom for this series. When she speaks God's word. Okay? And she needs to do this everywhere, but Titus chapter 2 emphasizes a ministry that every godly woman ought to have as an older woman, and that is she should be pouring herself into younger women. Titus 2:3 talks about older women, and it says they shouldn't be using their tongue to slander, but they're to be a teacher of good things. And they should admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. These older women, you know, defined old by older than whoever, okay? You know, you're to have a ministry. Yes, a ministry to your husband, your family, others, but don't forget, you know, the church is to be like a family. You understand? We're to function like a family. And the older women are to be pouring into the younger women. And Titus 2 talks about the older men in the same passage, doing the same thing with the younger men. So this is the kind of woman we're talking about here. This is the wise woman. She's a valuable wife. She's a vigorous worker. And she's a virtuous woman. Now, back page, the praise she deserves. The praise she deserves. Now understand, the world is going to say just the opposite, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to get any of this out there in the world. And one of the things I've done during this series, I'm probably going to keep doing this. It's been so valuable. I used to do it every once in a while, but now for this series, I've done it every week. And on my Facebook, every week I tell people what I'm speaking on, and I say, any advice? And man, every week I've gotten like 50, 75, sometimes 100 responses to just get people teaching me, okay, or whatever. And of course, I knew when I posted this one, I was going to get a lot of jokes, okay? First few were like, you know, don't do it, run, or, give out chocolate, all this kind of stuff, or whatever, okay? I'm speaking on womanhood. Any advice? Give out chocolate. Anyway, moving forward here, okay? But one person put this, and I thought it was good. Don't look at Hollywood stars or to women's magazines to find role models. Isn't that true? Just think about that. I mean, what's the women's magazines going to say? You know, be skinny, you know, be sexy, you know, never get old. If you do, cover it up or whatever, you know. It's always on the outer appearance, okay? It's always being, pretty much being a pig with a golden ring is what it's going to tell you to try to be, okay, whatever. Just the opposite of the Word of God. And so the bottom line is two things you have to do. Number one, ladies, you got to listen to God's voice, okay? I just want to challenge you, get into God's Word every day, okay? Because you're going to have, just like us guys, you got to have your mind renewed. Okay, because the world is going to tell you just the opposite of what Proverbs 31 is going to tell you. Okay, the world is going to go totally against this word here. Okay, so you got to get into God's word every day. So to us guys and get your mind renewed. But the second thing then that we must do is we need to encourage our ladies, okay? We need to encourage our women, okay? And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says specifically, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing or in vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, listen, she shall be praised. See the emphasis there? Man, if you got a woman in your life like this, guys, she ought to be renewed, not just by the word of God, but by your word, by your word, by your word. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. God's word says we need to praise each other, okay? We're not to brag on ourselves, but we are to praise each other. Why should we praise? Well, this type of woman deserves praise. That's what it's saying. I mean, if you're fortunate enough, who can find this kind of woman? There are not many around. And if you got one, her price is far above rubies. And you better praise her, okay? You better praise her. Why? Because it honors God. It honors God. The Bible tells us to edify one another, okay? Build up each other. When you do that, you're honoring God. It feels good. It feels good, doesn't it? I love Philemon 1:2. It says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. I love this. He says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. And isn't that what us men and women need? We need to have joy from each other. Joy in the Lord. We need to refresh each other. We need it, okay? We need encouragement, okay? We need encouragement because it feels good. It just feels good when somebody notices, okay? When somebody notices. And then thirdly, because it strengthens godly women. One of the reasons we're to exhort each other daily, both men and women, is because if not, our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so if we don't ever take the time to, appreciate our wives and compliment our wives and encourage them, you know, over time the world is going to just engulf them and all the false messages they're hearing from the world are going to be attacking them. And over time, their heart can be hardened, it says. So what we have to do is we have to exhort each other every day, encourage each other every day, okay? All right, I want to close with this, okay? Just put your notes away. I want you to eyeball me, okay? All right, I want to wrap up this message in this series this way, okay? And ladies, I was just trying to think, what is the most important thing I could say right now that would show us all your value, okay? So I don't know if I've done a good job on this message or not, okay? We'll figure that out later, okay? But I want to say something to you, okay? I want you to think about this. There's God in heaven, and God decides he is going to create the world. And so the Bible says that, you know, he did that, okay? He created the world. He created everything in the world, okay? He made this unbelievable world we live in today. He decides to put a man, just a man, on this planet, okay, in this world. And he looked at his creation and he said, listen, what I made was good. And he says, what I made was very good. Very good. And then he looks at his creation and for the first time he blurts out these words. Something's not good. Something is not good. Wow, something's not good? Because over and over again he said it was good, and sometimes he said it was very good. And now all of a sudden he goes, wow, something's not good. In fact, he says something's incomplete. My creation is not even complete right now. And what was it? There wasn't a woman, okay? There wasn't a woman. Ladies, you know what? You are part of the very good, okay? And the world was not very good unless you were here, okay? And you know what? The world was incomplete without you, okay? And so what you need to do is you don't need to become like a man, okay? You need to be a woman. A woman. The woman God designed you to make. And in that, you're going to, listen, you're going to find your maximum fulfillment in life being that kind of woman, okay? So listen, do it, okay? Do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the women here today and those that are listening to this message online. God, thank you for their life. Thank you for their value. And God, I praise you for my wife, for my mother, for my grandmother, and for so many women that are even sitting right in this room with me right now. I praise them. So many women right here in this church who've come alongside of me to make a difference in this church and make a difference in this community, and so many that have made a difference in our family, that have loved our family, supported our family. And we thank you so much for them. God, encourage these ladies, and God, as men, help us to praise them. Help us to praise them. And may we praise them, praise them, praise them, and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.